Good evening, everybody. I, with you, have been listening carefully to this remarkable passion story in John's Gospel. Earlier this week, we heard the passion according to St. Matthew. But here in John, we get a quite different portrayal. We have throughout this narrative a sense of victory, even of divine unfolding, and that unfolding is so artfully carried out throughout the entire account of the arrest, trial, and crucifixion and burial of Jesus. In the garden scene, there is no kiss by Judas. Rather, the light of the world meets a mixed gang of thugs bearing puny clubs, dim lanterns. Jesus then marches out and orders them to arrest him. They fall back, astounded at his presence. In the many, many interviews and dialogues between Pilate and Jesus, Jesus is portrayed as a commanding, fearless conversation partner. In fact, a sense of his command rattles Pilate, who finally puts on a puff display of power, only to be told that it is not he who has the power, but the one he is examining. The king language is constant and repeated throughout this account of John's, and it contains deep, deep irony. Jesus is mocked as a pretend, almost comedic king. And then, conveniently, they forget to remove the royal robes they have clothed him in. And so Jesus dies uniquely in this gospel as Christo Rei, as Christ the King, the ironic true king. And the believing reader knows what is the actual answer to Pilate's question, "Where are you from?" That is exactly the right question to ask. And Pilate stumbles across it. Perhaps this is even a little slice of divine enlightenment. And the believing reader remembers the opening line, "In the beginning was the way, the truth, and the light. And that one came into the world to shed light in darkness." Jesus dies as King Jesus, not a victim. He chooses his course and plays his emptying role to the end. There's great tragedy. And a tragedy is portrayed amongst the women at the foot of the cross in a way unique in John's Gospel. There's pathos. Mary is separated from her dying son, unable to comfort him or to touch him as he dies. And Jesus looks down in compassion and conveys her care to a trusted, beloved disciple. And also at the foot of the cross is Mary Magdalene, who will show up in the resurrection morning, weeping, lamenting the distance between her and even the supposed brutal body of Jesus lying in the grave. And perhaps at this particular time in our life, that pathos can be accessed and understood by us better. And while we consider that pathos, our hearts and minds are agonized and cry out in grief and in prayer for the many families in this pandemic who are separated from dying beloved family and friends. We are in an era of events that allows us to understand much of this Passion narrative better than many of us have ever been able to experience. We are surrounded by examples of victorious survival and by sacrificial deaths that astound us, that take away our breath. The victorious non-victim of John overshadows and blesses those that we honor every day in our prayers. The healthcare workers, the bus drivers, the military, the police, the grocery clerks, those standing to deliver food, those seeking to serve the elemental needs, particularly of those of us who are elderly, and who, like Jesus, are not forced but choose to put themselves in harm's way and possibly death to serve us. And as we witness the cruel and horrible death of Jesus, our hearts reach out to the many who are now in the throes of death from this pandemic, and those who risk their own death to continue to serve us and them. Amen.